in San Francisco, California. It is my pleasure to announce that Harmontown is now in session. Would you please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Thank you. What a delightful bunch you are. Thank you. I'm very flattered by your attendance numbers, very flattered by your enthusiasm. Let's see what we can do to just punish it, right? Certainly, I don't have an act, but you guys are fans of the podcast, so you know that. So if we do nothing but get drunk and ramble for 2 hours, that's a little slice of Los Angeles for our friends in San Francisco. So you guys are obviously, there's a lot of people from San Francisco here, but there's always a tremendous amount of you that are from the outlands who have pilgrimaged here to see all kinds of stuff. How many people in the latter group, how many non-San Franciscites? Just curious about that. Feels like roughly 40%?
Yeah, or more, 50, I don't know.
I think this is our third time doing a San Francisco Sketchfest, but our first time here in this room, and it seems like a lovely room. I don't know. It's a little intimidating. It feels kind of like a cattle auction.
I'm not that intimidated because the only times I've ever been here...
Jeff.
No. I'm telling you why, is because I've only ever been out in the audience watching the highest Doug Benson you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And I mean, and he's hilarious, but the stakes are low because he's so mellow. It's like, you know, like you can just kind of be delightful out here. And, you know.
No, I'm sure. I'm not going to ruin it by second guessing it. I just want to, you know, it's interesting the dynamic that shifts between different rooms. We sit in the back of a comic book store in Los Angeles, and kind of like it's a different acoustics and different things. And you know, Doug Benson, as high as he is, always has an act to fall back on or a joint in his pocket or something. All I've got is my Evernote notepad. I wanted to make an announcement that I've been having a very successful experiment since I stepped foot into San Francisco. It's a twofold thing, and I don't know how to describe it because it seems kind of contradictory. One thing is called owning it. I'm owning it.
What?
It. I'm owning it.
Capital
like,
I.
I'm owning everything. I'm not apologizing for anything anymore. I'm owning. Like, for instance, the fact that I'm fat. I'm owning it. You can't tell I'm fat because I'm owning it. Like, it seems like I'm supposed to be fat. Like Santa Claus owns it.
Yeah.
You know, like people. He's fat. Santa Claus is technically fat, but no one ever. You know, that one guy, that one dick describes him as fat in his that first poem about Santa Claus. But from then on, we're just like, he's awesome.
I mean,
he owns it.
Your sweater has a suspicion about it.
It's got some secrets. I chose a color that absorbs light rather than reflects it, hoping that somehow the enterprise of your eyeballs would slingshot around the sun of my stomach and go back in time to when I was 25.
Didn't you make a decision to go on a diet since you got engaged that you would become slim and lithe and sexy for your wedding?
You have to back into a number. I'm going to be thin by my wedding, so you just keep pushing the date. Then every day becomes, you know, like I had 2 quarter pounders yesterday that I didn't tell Aaron about. Like it's fucked up. She doesn't know.
How many did you have that you did tell her about?
I've had like 90 that I told her about and 160 that I haven't. And I've discussed this before. Aaron and I, my betrothed, Aaron McGathy, it's a dream relationship. We share, the interests that we share are going to kill us. The interests that we share are, you know, we are passionate about our pursuit of a sedentary lifestyle. We just think that people should be sedentary. We love it. We love watching movies that we don't even enjoy. I got one of those special pillows. That's the first thing I did when Aaron moved in. I got one of those. They call them boyfriend pillows. That's the technical name for them. They're those pillows that are shaped like a little easy chair. Do you know what I mean? I don't know what I'm expecting. Like, you're all going to nod. 200 people are going to nod their head.
Wait, so these are for in beds so you can sit up?
Yeah, you know those pillows that they have, like, you know, when you sit up in bed.
No, we don't know, Dan. Explain it to us.
Oh, because you all are rock climbing. Fuck off. You all know. When you sit up in bed, the headboard hurts, you know? It's like, and you put some pillows behind your back, and those pillows shift around, and all that stuff. And these things are called boyfriend pillows, and they have like those little nubs that come around, and it's just enough to, like, kind of anchor you. And it just cements you like a little barnacle against the headboard. And are you quitting? Are you that outraged about my...
Yes, Dan.
My physical fitness?
Is the pillow supposed to be your boyfriend? Why is it a boyfriend pillow? Boyfriend for whom?
I think it's... my theory is that the reason it's called a boyfriend pillow... And by the way, there's other things... The nomenclature is confusing because women have... I don't know if I should refer to them as a gender. Like, I don't know if a guy invented this or a woman. I know the gender didn't invent them, so I shouldn't say women have. But for women, they have those, like, kind of... Those simulated boyfriend pillows. They're like body pillows for snuggling.
Yeah, right.
And God knows men have all kinds of things that have nothing to do with sleeping that are simulations. But the thing that's technically called a boyfriend pillow, I believe the reason it's called a boyfriend pillow, I would imagine, is because this is not a romantic thing. This is a relationship thing. This is a guy's over at your house, but... He doesn't, you know, he might not fuck you. You might just watch, like, Ironside or something. So it's a boyfriend pillow. It's a nesting pillow.
It has a time machine that goes back when Ironside is on the air.
He doesn't even know. They redid Ironside.
They did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dan, I don't have a boyfriend. Wait, so it's got little armrests, right?
Like, Ironside does. Otherwise, he'd fall out of his chair.
No, I know. I know Ironside has armrests.
Oh, now he's an Ironside expert. Well, if you had been to IronCon, you would know that they remade the series. It's now canceled, but
they rebooted Ironside?
For about 3 weeks. God, they gave it a shot. They thought the reason the first Ironside failed was maybe because the guy was fat and white. So they put a very sexy black man in a wheelchair, but they kept flashing back to when he had use of his legs as if to apologize. Like, he's not always crippled. And they would do scenes like I only know about this because I was actually on The Soup, so I saw one of these clips. He would roll into a room and be investigating a crime scene, and then he goes, yeah, so-and-so was scared, all right, but not because of the drugs, because of that gun. And he points at a gun that's under a pillow on a couch, and all the other cops at the crime scene go, "How did you see that?" And he goes, like, "I got a different view of the world from down here."
Oh, God.
I'm not fucking kidding. It was one of the Soup's clip of the years, because it's so fucking insane. The idea that forensic science is somehow altitude biased.
Guys, get in here. I'm the chief of police. I want everyone to enter every crime scene at a different level.
Yeah, I need
Jenkins. I want you crawling.
2 6-year-olds, a Chihuahua, a Great Dane, and a giraffe.
Yes. I want a really tall guy on another guy's shoulders wearing the world's longest trench coat.
Just walk through. Don't touch anything, but just look around. If you see a gun, tell me. Someone teach this giraffe how to recognize guns and speak. I don't want to... All right. Get rid of these eucalyptus leaf pillows. That's going to defeat the whole purpose when the koala comes in. I don't know what I'm looking back at this for. It's like there's a structure to the show.
Have you guys ever amazed yourself at how sedentary you've become? Is there a moment when you look at each other and go, "Oh, Jesus Christ"?
Every fucking minute. It's I always. We are so happy, and then it's just like sometimes there's just the weekends. They just go. We just watch like 9 movies in a row. What heaven should be.
You never look at that. And I know I don't want you to. I root for your happiness at all times. But you don't ever look at those moments with a sense of alarm, like that maybe this is terrible.
I mean, I'd rather you just come out and say whatever you're trying to say than this deposition. Like, just charge me with whatever you're going to charge me with. I mean, I love a woman. I don't love hiking.
Right.
I love her. She loves me. We love... I would rather watch 27 Dresses than exercise. She would rather watch...
What's 27
fucking,
Dresses?
Buckaroo Banzai than exercise. So even though she hates Buckaroo Banzai and I hate 27 Dresses, like we both love not moving. We share each other's favorite movies with each other. It's heaven. And then like every once in a while, the doorbell rings and bing bong. Our sausages are here.
And then is it like a Mexican standoff of who has to get out of bed?
Absolutely, yes. That'll be our undoing. It's like the treasure of Sierra Madre.
Oh, I see. As soon as I get up, you steal my pillow, huh?
Yeah.
Did you buy the boyfriend pillow, or did she purchase that?
I didn't know what it was called. I was like, I want one of those things. It's time now. It's finally time. I'm finally with a woman that I love enough that I want to just smuck up to the headboard and yeah.
Smuck up?
Smuck up. Smuck up, motherfucker.
You smuck up. See, I don't want to sit up in bed. I don't want a TV in my bedroom. I don't want to sit up and read in my bedroom. I want to go to bed in my bedroom or do naked things in my bedroom.
Well, big deal. What do you want, a cookie? I feel like, I don't know, something about when you say these things, it feels challenging.
See, but you feel challenged by anything. Like you don't like when someone says tie your shoes.
Well, I feel challenged by getting out of bed, certainly.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
But I also felt like I go, I ate a bunch of lasagna yesterday. And I just fucking pigged out. I love lasagna. And you go like, yeah, overeating. I don't like overeating. And it's like, fuck off.
I've never said that. Never
I know
happened.
You never have. It's a fucking ersatz example. It's a reconstruction of like what I'm running a Jeff simulator. I'm in the Jeffatorium. I'm like, oh, I was in the bathroom, and then the guy, we were trying to both get out the men's room door, and we did one of those dances of awkwardness before we could go, and you're like, I always know how to get through a bathroom door. Fuck off! Why do you always know? Too perfect.
Because I don't have a boyfriend pillow. Life is my boyfriend pillow, Dan.
I have a challenge for you, Jeff, because you're a music fan.
All right.
This is a new segment. People like segments. That's what I've learned recently. People, it, even though it's fake, it kind of enhances your enjoyment. People like segments. So this segment is called Music...
Wait, before you say a segment, do I need a music cue for this musical
yeah,
segment?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So give me a genre... So let me know, like, thematically, what are you going for?
It's
here?
About music and investigation and... And just America and Auschwitz.
Okay. Wait, music, investigation, America.
Yeah.
Auschwitz.
Oh, you heard that. Okay. No, that last one was a joke.
We all heard
it. A hilarious joke.
We all heard it. But it's funny you say that because I think I have all those covered.
All right.
Are you ready?
John Denver. Right. Music corner. Music corner. Music. Hey, there's another guy singing.
Wait. Oh, you. You didn't say instrumental.
Well, I don't. I didn't know.
Okay. Okay. Let's do.
Right. This segment's called picking a song for this segment.
Destin, I got no audio down here. Something weird going on?
Doesn't matter. I heard.
There we go. Fuck it.
Oh, okay. It's music theory segment. We're gonna talk to Jeff about some music questions.
And nothing rhymes with Jeff except for chef and treble clef.
Well, that's two. Asshole. I was gonna say your chin was cleft.
But I stopped the song, so go fuck yourself.
All right, so musical segment. All right, Jeff. The Dolly Parton song, Jolene.
Yes.
San Francisco native Dolly Parton. I'm pretending that this is related to... San Francisco-born Dolly Parton, inventor of the typewriter, and...
Friend of Abbie Hoffman. Haight Ashbury, frozen yogurt pioneer and singer-songwriter Dolly Parton.
Right.
She wrote this song, performed this song, Jolene.
Right.
Okay, so are you familiar with the song Jolene? It's Dolly Parton pleading with the object of her lover's desire. In other words, the woman that's going to take her man. She's pleading with her, please, Jolene, don't do this, please. My betrothed and I were discussing this song earlier. Aaron was saying when she was in a situation where she was very jealous of a young lady, she felt like her relationship was in the crosshairs of a succubus, and the Jolene came on at Vesuvio, and she had this flashback to when she was playing Jolene so much that her friend asked her to stop. You can't listen to Jolene anymore. But that it made me curious because I felt like it was interesting, like women and men, they different. Women drive like this. Women and men both. We all have love songs. We all have painful songs. Like we all go. There's people of both genders and on both sides of the listener singer relationship. We're all very familiar with the idea of a song about how somebody broke my heart. Somebody's fucking with me. And we're also familiar. But more especially on the male side, I think I'll probably get corrected on this. But on the male side, there's a heavy tradition of like guys talking to guys, but it's usually about sniping. It's you're gonna lose that girl. I'm gonna fuck your girl. Yes, I'll make a point of fucking that girl instead of you. Yes, yes, I will. I wish that I had Jesse's girl. Oh, well, how come Jesse gets to fuck that girl instead of me? It's like when guys are referring.
The,
to other
by the
guys,
way, the good news is we can air that and we won't get sued.
Tone deafness has its legal advantages. There's a guy from ASCAP. Damn it! So with five notes, four notes, six notes, shit! He doesn't know what he's doing. Can't pin him down. It'd be like if Al Capone was so bad at bookkeeping that the IRS could never... shit!
He doesn't know how to add anyway.
It just says he bought a bunch of cookies. Both sets of books, his cooked books and his real books, just cookies. He loves cookies. That's all we can tell.
They're actual cookbooks.
His cooked books are cookbooks.
That's what I just said.
I know that's what you said. I'm refining it.
It feels like a challenge.
Stop challenging
Fuck
me.
You
challenge me. Every time we come to San Francisco, the city of brotherly love.
No, it's not.
As it is known, birthplace of Dolly Parton. Epicenter of the typewriter.
What wasn't invented here? It's just where the most typewriters live.
Anyways, where the fuck was I? So, okay.
Jolene. By the way, I'm riveted to find out where you're going with this.
Well, no, I think it's a very interesting, because I really kind of ran this over in my head, and I'm interested to find out if there's an answer to this. Okay, so, but I'll cut to the chase. Because Jolene is a very special song. Even because I started talking to Aaron about it. I said, wow, that's a very interesting song. Because men are all caught up in their testosterone politics. Like if a man feels threatened sexually by another man, he's not typically, in a songwriting sense, going to tend to express that by going, Kevin, hey, take it easy on me. I know you got a bigger dick, but maybe explore other options because I love my wife so much. I'm just begging you, Kevin, come on. Do me a solid this one time. It's not an instinctive choice for a man. And Aaron immediately said, like, well, women, you know, I don't want to mischaracterize her as making sweeping generalizations, but we were just generally talking about this. She's like, well, women are socialized to communicate, and if you're a woman and you have that sort of a competitive relationship with another woman, the woman who who leaps into aggressiveness doesn't do herself any favors. There's a sort of trapped, claustrophobic, helpless feeling about it. And the reason that song is a hit song and resonates with all of us of all genders, including the third secret one, is because it's like we all know what it's like to feel like just fucking at the mercy of another human being. But so my question to you is, as a fan of music,
yes,
is there a male equivalent to Jolene, specifically a man songwriter, singer, addressing another man?
Yes, Bird Dog by Everly Brothers.
That's a third person. He's a bird dog. He's warning other people he's going to fuck your girl.
Johnny is a joker. He calls him out by name. Johnny's a joker. He's a bird.
He's talking to the listener.
Is there a song where a guy calls out another guy?
One guy saying to another guy, "Hey, Tim, you're an ace coxman. Let's agree on that.
Let's prove it out back.
You got a big turgid piece of drill bit down there. I just appreciate you going somewhere else out of mercy. I'm out of options. Signed, Kevin."
The closest... I will open that up to the floor. The closest I can get is Bird Dog, where a guy says, "Johnny is trying to bird dog my lady." But he says, "Hey, Bird Dog," in the chorus. He goes, "Hey, Bird Dog, get away from my quail.
All right,
hey, Bird Dog, you're on the wrong trail."
He's pleading out, like, "Hey, fucking
Bird Dog, leave my lovey dove alone."
Right.
Yeah.
But he is also still warning him off. I want to open this up to the crowd. If anybody thinks that they know of a song. Sorry, what?
Tell her no.
Tell her no by the zombies.
And she should tell you that she loves you.
Yeah. Oh, well. Remember, she said that to me.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Tell her no, no, no. Anthony, tell her no, no, no.
Wait, so you're saying tell
you her
no?
Come up on stage.
If you want. You know.
Let's bring him up on stage. Grab a microphone here, would you? Hans, that's a musical name. Yes. I love it.
There's a line in Tell Her No by the Zombies where he says specifically, "If she should tell you that I love you, just remember she said that to me." There's another line, I think, where he says, "Don't take her love from my arms," stuff like that.
Oh, tell her no.
Tell
it's
her
one
no.
Guy talking to another guy saying, "If my girlfriend
says that, she
throws
also...
herself at you,
yeah,
do me a favor.
Ex-girlfriend.
And be a Teflon penis."
Pretty much, yeah.
Man to man, that's all I can ask.
No, but he's not saying, "Don't steal her away from me," or "let release her." Like, I'm saying, if she comes to you...
He's saying, "Stop fucking my ex-girlfriend."
He is. Or, I think so.
Or
is he saying, "In the event that she tries to fuck you, tell her no"? Is he saying, "Stop fucking her," or "Tell her no in the event that she comes and tries to"?
Right.
I was asking
No, that's
question.
Good. You're asking me, I
think what it is that, you know, let's say it's Tony and Johnny, and Johnny is fucking Tony's ex-girlfriend, and he's not into it, he's bummed, so he's saying, "Hey, fucking stop it." Or maybe he's just saying, like, "Hey, I love her, and you're just fucking around with her. And so, like, you know, if she says, 'I love you,' then take a hike, because I'm the one who really loves her." I don't know. It's just the person that came ahead.
That's good, though. That's close. Thank you, Hans.
No, that's good. That's a good
Hans,
answer.
Hans, everybody.
Hans.
Anybody else got that beat?
All right.
Do we have anybody else that has that beat for man-on-man thwarting?
Man-on-man acquiescence and pleading for non-sexual intervention.
Yeah, I was in I take a lot of long drives, like doing comedy shows with Greg Proops and Ryan Stiles, and we were talking about the kind of weird... I mean, this is not going to win any awards for naming it, but we call it kind of like rape rock, where it's like "Young girl, get out of my life!" Like a guy yelling at an underage woman to stop putting the sauce on him. Like it's like
well, don't stand like,
with all
so
the charms
close to me.
Of a woman. You're just a baby. Like,
you're
wow.
talking specifically about men saying to young women, like
enough already.
Get away from me.
It's a terrible police song. Genre.
Don't stand so close to me yet. Yeah. But then there's the other more horrible thing, which is I don't understand like what is this like she's 16, she's beautiful, and she's my what? You're 48.
Yes, yes, she's 16, she's beautiful, and in 4 years the laws will change because of this song. Oh yeah, hey, little sister, don't you? That one, like he's talking about the girl he's dating. He's more into the little sister, like. Like, "I used to pull your pigtails and twist your turned up nose. Now I'm looking at your titties." Like, now it's fucking on. Because, and you get the feeling from Little Sister that it's because he's been rebuffed by the older sister, and now he's just gone younger, which is a fucking Elvis. Also, Elvis is in a film, if I'm not mistaken, called Kissin' Cousins. And there's a song about, like, I forget how the lyrics go, but they're pretty fucking good in the sense that they're horrifying. And he says, like, she does this and she does that. We hug and sneeze. Not hug. We don't hug and sneeze all night. But we're kissing cousins, and that's what makes it all right. Like they're kissing cousins. I think it means legally allowed to fuck cousins. I don't know.
Oh, okay. The term kissing. He's saying we're kissing cousins, meaning we're not first cousins.
We're not blood related cousins, and that's what makes it okay.
Yeah.
Second cousins. Yeah. See, I have a small family. I don't even know if I have a cousin. I probably do. I don't know them.
I bet you'd make out with her if you did. You're not better than these Southern people. We judge them, but they just have more cousins. I think that we in the blue state metropolitan areas, we go like, oh, they all fuck each other. They all fuck their cousins.
Yes, but you haven't
we just don't have many cousins. Yeah. Once you get up to 6, 8, 9 cousins, one of them's going to really sweep you off your feet. And that's what can happen down there where there's more room and there's swing sets and stuff and there's just fields. You know, they don't have...
There's potato sack racing? Who knows what goes on in those potato sacks?
Yeah. Where we have a YMCA or a Walmart, they have like just Wuthering Heights of wheat. I don't know. Okay.
Wuthering Heights of wheat.
Mixed a couple geological and cultural things there. All right, so, well, I kind of got sidetracked. And I want tonight to run cleanly, and I want to get off on any tangents.
No tangents.
Like that,
no right? tangents.
Because we're in San Francisco, I don't want to create the false impression that...
Can we talk real quick? Well, can I go off on one? It's not really a tangent. It's just a brief interjection. Walking up Columbus here in North Beach, one of my favorite neighborhoods in San Francisco, a town which I deeply love and adore. I love coming here. We were supposed to, they were going to, the Sketchfest people were going to bring us in tonight, fly us back tomorrow morning, and all of us agreed separately that we would stay an extra day just to be here in this lovely city. Because it is the best. Because you can come to North Beach, and I went to a bar, and there was Fernet Branca on tap, like next to the beers. And it was serotonin just poured out of the back of my brain into my butts. It was the best. Because that's how it works, right?
Poured out of your butt?
Yes, we'll get back to that. I'm walking up the road, and I'm going... You guys were at Vesuvio having a drink, and I was... I got out of a cab, and I wanted to go get a pizza at a certain place, and I hop out of the cab, and I cross the street, like, near, like, Stockton, Green, Columbus, the run there, and there was a big black guy, youngish, you know, I would say not... Maybe just 30, maybe less, big guy. Football jersey, I think for some reason it was, like, Vikings or Green Bay, but something Midwest-y. It wasn't, like, the Niners or anything local. And he had a football, and he was standing like waiting at the crosswalk, and he was like tapping the football.
Jesus, he was like really out of his way.
Yeah, well, yeah. But he was just standing there, like you know, it's like this, like didn't bother me at all. Didn't really pay much attention. Left, went and had pizza. Come back, he's still there at the same crosswalk, and now I'm stuck at that crosswalk waiting on a green light, and he's still there, and we're now waiting to cross the street. But I know this guy enough to know he's not crossing that street because he was there an hour ago. Tapping that football, kind of shifting from left to right, and he looks over, and I'm wearing a suit, and I got a tie on, and I'm carrying a book and a little zippy case for my iPad that I DJ the show with. So, and he just looks over at me, and we're about like our heads are about a foot and a half apart, waiting next to each other, and he goes, "Fucking faggot," tapping the football now more aggressively. Fuck! Look at this faggot! Look at this faggot! 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 And the light turned green, and I just kept trucking.
And then he...
I told it to Aaron backstage. She's like, wrong city!
I did not see that coming.
No.
Was he talking to you about
that?
Well,
I think he probably has Tourette's, but it was for me. It was certainly for my...
He wasn't bonding with you, like,
looking at... He looked at me, and he didn't like what he was seeing. Because I had a suit on. I mean, look, he might have called everybody that moved a faggot.
Well, I mean,
I'm the only person I heard him say that to.
I love that he's so gay that he has to carry a football around in order to get away with calling people faggot. Because he's afraid that the absence of a football will be the equivalent of the presence of a dildo.
That's how gay that guy is. I often hear rampant homophobia as latent homosexuality because I think like if you protest, I'm a firm believer in it. Yeah, and I thought like, if this guy's cruising, he's doing it the most high concept way of all time.
Well, I don't think they're all cruising. I think they're. I mean, but no, I am an absolute firm believer that when you are that energetically opposed to a victimless crime, like it is because you are jealous. Period. I don't understand. That's not just me left winging it. And I got all kinds of crazy political views. I'm not a political person. But
well, certainly, if you sense a threat that you're not being threatened by, then that seems
it's too suspicious. And we've also found out too many times. It's just over and over and over again that these people who are like I'm gonna make a law against buttholes. Everyone's butthole has to have an eye patch over it because the homosexuals keep trying to make everyone gay. It's like, okay, and then you find out he's in an airport, you know, and he's like got three dicks in his armpits, and
which is over and over again. For me, needlessly gay.
Well, because he's doing it wrong, because he's not healthy about it. He needs to go to like gay camp and like hang out with gay people and ask, do you put them in your armpits, and have them say, no, sweetie, you don't. Take it easy. Lick it, kiss it, suck it. You don't have to put it in your eyeball. You don't have to go to a fucking rest stop for it. First of all, why are you married? Get that in order. There's people waiting out there to mentor you in gayness. If you can find them.
Long story short, I'm fucking this guy, and I mean, I mean fucking him.
All right, so I had
right in the old armpits, with all three of my dicks, because that's the thing. If you've got three dicks, fuck the armpits, because where else are you going to do it?
I never finished my so the first part of my experiment.
The saying is one in the shit, two in the pit.
I'm not even absorbing this because I'm moving on.
Yeah, just trying to educate our audience a little bit.
If you can state it in a rhyme, you can justify a sex crime. On the playground, they were always like, if there's grass on the field, play ball. If the river's red, take the dirt road instead. It's like, what?
No, is that one?
Yes, yes.
Is that real?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Well,
Christ.
Is it real? I mean, is it real? Yes, it's a real thing that I heard.
I thought you just riffed that and I was going to fucking.
Thomas Jefferson didn't say it, to my knowledge, but.
That is horrifying.
But it says, yeah, these sayings, these slogans.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, are more clever than today's modern beer slogans, which are just like, down for what's up. Hey, yo. Hashtag Bud Light. If you love Bud Light, hashtag hi, how are you? Like, all the beer slogans are always remember when they were really, like, Orwellian? Like, why ask why? I remember that one. That was fucked up.
Yeah, fucking.
A lot of you guys are 25. Yeah. There was a beer. I don't remember what brand it was. Their slogan was, why ask why? That's fucked up when your product is an opiate. Why ask why?
Yeah, because now
I keep hearing why. Like, there's the Madison Avenue boardroom, and a guy comes in, and it's like, well, it seems like our biggest opponent to people buying beer is sometimes people keep asking why. Yeah, well, maybe we can turn the tables on them. It's the way that you use it. The camera pushes down a 21-year-old Johnny Madison.
Before that, the boss said, I'm sick of being told why people should drink beer. I'll tell you why. And then a young guy goes,
Mr. Jenkins.
What is it? Bring me coffee.
You keep saying you don't like the word why.
Well, if you say why one more time, if you even use why in a sentence.
What if I said it twice? Why?
I'll have you
ask why? Fuck you. I got your job now. I got your job.
So you guys don't know that we're also gifted actors.
Yeah, so please.
We bring so much.
I know Jodie Foster was here last Wednesday. Did she do this? No. She talked about alien contact. Again. It's like a broken record.
Leave it.
I believe we're going to make contact. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
I'd like you to do a little more Jodie Foster impression for me. If you
All right, give me a suggestion.
Okay,
I heard rapping plumber.
Rapping plumber.
All right, give me a beat.
You want a beat?
Jodie Foster, the rapping plumber. Breakdown. Jodie Foster, MC Jodie Foster in the house. I'm coming to your house to plug your toilet. I'm doing it wrong already. I should be unplugging your toilet. I can't handle this, Dr. Lecter. Okay. All right, that's dumb. That was stupid.
No, no.
Fuck you for enjoying it. You're bad people.
Dan, that was not stupid.
Your joy makes you bad people.
That was high risk, high yield. And you proved it by the risk yielding nothing.
Yeah. I got off on a tangent, but I was going to say two experiments that are going on, they're kind of contradicting each other. One is I'm owning it. I'm fat.
Wait. That's how long ago we jumped the tracks?
Yeah.
That was like the third minute
of the
show.
Well, because you started making fun of me for being fat as I was owning my fatness.
I was not making fun of you.
You're wearing that black sweatshirt. You look, you fucking pudgy asshole.
I didn't. See, now you're
trying to hide your fat body from your fans. And I was like, okay, whatever.
I'm saying you're not hiding it. I'm saying the secrets of being given up. Also, holy shit.
Owning it. Owning anything. If you had a zit on your forehead, you know, it's fine to be insecure about it, but own it. You got a zit on your forehead. Well, here's what people like.
How do you own a zit in your head?
Well, here's a couple things people would be fine with.
And say this, Jodie Foster.
A guy walking into the bar with a big zit on his forehead and going like, hey, what's up?
Can I get you something?
I'll tell you what, you don't have to get me a zit on my forehead. I'll take a, because I already got one. I'll take a Bud Light. I'm pointing at a Bud Light.
Why?
What?
Why?
Why ask why? Give me a...
All right.
Dumb. All right, thank you. I got a zit on my forehead, but it's not your problem.
I didn't bring it up. I see all kinds in here.
Yeah.
There was
here's a new kind.
Homophobic football player here ago, and he was weirder.
Hey, what is this place? The Fossil Yard? I'm going to put something on the jukebox. I'm a zit forehead drinking a Bud Light. So you like that guy. Everyone likes that guy.
No, I hate that guy.
Well, he's... Maybe I did a bad job.
He's making it my problem.
But
I was
here's
fine.
Here's a guy you don't like for sure, okay?
All right.
I'll do a more accurate impression of this guy.
Okay, am I a bartender? He's
still got a zit on his forehead.
Who am I?
The bartender. Okay, right. Whoever you were.
I mean, okay.
The pharmacist. I don't know who you are.
Whatever you want.
Hey, can I get a Bud Light? It's going to go away, like, in 3 weeks.
I'm sorry, sir. This is a pharmacy. This is not a bar.
I'll take a Band-Aid. I'm just going to cover it up until I you know, you're not supposed to pop it or you're not supposed to...
You don't have to talk to a pharmacist to get Band-Aids. They're over there in aisle two.
All right, well, anyways, you get the idea. Own it. It's okay. It's okay to say, like, okay, I'm fat. I'd like to lose 40, 80 pounds before my wedding. But until I do...
40, 80?
40, 80.
that's a good
range.
That's
the spread.
All right. What's you'd be happier with 80 or you'd be happy with 40?
We'd all be happier with 80.
How much do you weigh right now? Do you know?
900. I don't know. You keep derailing me. I'm just saying. Yes, I'm fat, Jeff.
I didn't say you were fat.
Just why don't you go marry skinny people? You know, I'm fat and I'm your friend. I'm fat and you love me. What does that make you? A fat man lover. It's worse. It's arguably worse.
That's why, it's hard.
That's
it's
me not owning it, see? That's me projecting all kinds of shame. But if I come out like Santa Claus and I'm like, look who's got some presents because he's so fat. You're like, you don't even think of, you're like,
no, that's not owning it. Having presents because you're fat is the opposite of owning it. That's apologizing for being fat.
I'm done with the owning it part. If you guys don't understand what owning it means, you got to Google it. I'm done with that. We're not going to spend 2 hours on that. There was one other thing. I'm apologizing now. Now, that's the opposite of owning it, isn't
well,
it?
No, you could be owning your own guilt or your
I've
own shame.
I've always had this thing where somebody, when Erin says, when she suggests that I did something wrong, mm-hmm. I defend myself like it's some kind of chess game.
Right.
Like we went to a pizza place today and they brought the plate of olive oil and I immediately took a salt shaker and just put salt all over the olive oil because I want to dip my bread in the olive oil. And yes, that's why I'm fat. I'm eating bread and olive oil. So, but I want to put the salt on the olive oil, and then but it was the table's olive oil, and Erin was like, nobody, maybe someone else doesn't want salt. And I immediately, my first thought is like, incoming tactical invasion, must perimeter defense. How do you get out of apologizing for this? Someone's implying that you're doing something wrong. Prove that you're not, and then you just engage in all these things. It's like a chess game. It's
so. What did you say? What was your? How did you
I was probably like, "Fuck you! I'm paying for dinner," but I don't know what I did. But then I was like, "Oh shit! Yeah, I realized when I got off the plane in San Francisco, I want to apologize whenever I sense that moment, even if I feel like it's even. Who cares? What's the worst case scenario? You apologize for everything. I'm sure there's people out here that apologize too much and they have to work on that or something. They have to stick up for themselves. I don't have that problem. I could apologize a couple million times more often and I would break even in terms of the average person. Like I've just been practicing like crunches, even though it's kind of an absurd comedic, even quasi passive aggressive feel to it. I just like now I'm going to say that I'm sorry more often.
Well, you mean it when you say it, or it's a rote thing that you're saying?
I don't know. I mean it, shmean it, you know? It's not something that you're really... it's something that you're doing for someone else. It's like saying Gesundheit, you know? Somebody goes like, oh, you did this thing, and it's like...
No, it's not. Being apologetic is actually being contrite, like actually...
No, you're talking about remorse. You're talking about... Sometimes those things overlap, but sometimes a graceful, excuse me, pardon me, sorry. It's a social...
Well, that's certainly the least you can do. You don't have to grovel and weep, you know, great tears about things, but like when you say I'm sorry, it should resonate sincerely, right?
Yeah. For instance, aren't you sorry for misunderstanding me just now?
Yes, I'm so sorry.
See how nice
I'm
that is?
Sorry for interrupting the show. I'm going to walk on
Gerald Hudson.
Hi, everybody. Hello, Cobbs.
Joe Hodgson of Mystery Science Theater fame.
I was just going to bring you on.
Oh, really? I thought I got confused. I thought I was supposed to walk on like Bob Hope used to do.
Well, I told you to walk
Tonight
on, but
Show.
Then they texted me that you were here. So that
let's do it again.
Okay. Yeah,
you got some music?
Yeah, I'll give you some music. Right. Dan's going to give you a proper intro.
Yeah, yeah.
You're supposed to do a showbiz intro. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him from...
No, I want to give a... What, okay. So I asked Adam Savage to come on the show. He said yes, and then he said no. The show is sold out anyway, so there's no one here that was coming for Adam Savage.
Of Mythbuster fame.
Right. A guy who gets his hands in the dirt is... We really lucked out in his absence because here in San Francisco is really my first original actual mentor when I moved to L.A. When Schraub and I moved to L.A., the first Hollywood guy we ever talked to, who ever talked to us about anything, was this guy and his brother. He had created this show called Mystery Science Theater 3000 that I watched when I was in Milwaukee. One of the most, you know, he's just this beacon of inventiveness and do-it-yourselfness and autonomy and Jim Henson-y kind of like brilliance. And and here he was in L.A. and he was also from the Midwest, so we had to connect. He was able to translate L.A. into Midwestern terms for us and show us the ropes a little bit. And he's a god to me and a friend that I don't talk to enough, but he's here in San Francisco and I happened to catch him on text, so he's here. Please welcome Joel Hodgson.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Wow. I've never been to Cobb's before. It's like famous.
Isn't it? Well, yeah, there's pictures upstairs that are kind of intimidating. There's Greg Giraldo in a kind of somber black and white photo and a lot of like, you know, all the
headliners. They laid the shit down at Cobb's.
Yeah.
Cobb's, like, Cobb's some riffing.
Yeah.
Back in the day. This is where they did the last waltz. Right? The band.
I don't know what the, what is that?
The you know, the concert movie, The Last Waltz.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
It was here?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's a
That was Dolly Parton's last show, I believe, wasn't it?
It's a big room. It's intimidating.
Yeah, I know.
What were you doing out here in San Francisco?
Oh, I'm doing a show tomorrow night at the Brava Theater. I'm doing riffing myself.
Hey,
whoa, a new one.
Hey, don't plug your bullshit. Oh. What the fuck? No, I don't know why. That's a dumb joke I do.
Dan?
I get it.
I'm
Dan?
Just a scene maker.
Apologize.
I just come and drop in on you guys.
I'm sorry I didn't bring you out faster.
No, it's okay. And you, I didn't know your shows were 2 hours long. Like, I talked to Aaron. I thought they were like an hour. Like, it's a podcast. I thought there were rules.
Lots of podcasts are 2 hours.
I didn't know that.
And my podcast has rules.
No.
We're doing an hour 45 tonight, tops.
Okay, tight.
But I was rushing to get over here. I had another show, and I was like going, shit, I better get here. Or I'm not going to make it in time. And turns out.
Fucking burning time over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of these people probably had an 8 o'clock thing they were going to go to. Or 8:30 or whatever. Fuck them.
No, you're in for the whole thing.
Yeah.
I hope you like this.
Text your friend and tell him to watch Dana Gould at Corny Pickles.
I think he's at Uncle Fucker's Chuckle Hutch.
Uncle Fucker's Chuckle Hutch.
I heard he was doing the midnight show at the Taj Mahaha. That's the only all...
What the... Late night,
own
it comes.
That's called owning it. That, my friend. Dan just took his shirt off and showed us the... Oh, dear heaven.
Yeah.
Get those dollars out, ladies. Let's bring him out to the stage. Put it together for the Yeti.
I thought you'd have a lot more discolored skin. I was expecting a lot more.
Nope. Just a sea of creamy white speckled with acne scars.
Did you ever think about, like, grooming it? Like, cutting it back with, like, one of those groomers? Think about that?
Well, I have done it.
You have?
Yeah. I mean, 3 days after I do it, it looks like this again.
Yeah.
Show me your back.
I don't want to try it.
Just show me.
Let me see.
Because
I think there'd be more welts.
I can't believe that he's entirely covered in nipples. It's amazing. It's just entirely nipple. I come from a long line of tall, very hairless Austrian men, and I'm very symmetrical. Like, if I get like a pimple on one side of my face, I get one exactly opposite, like a cyborg with pimples. I'm not taking it off, lady.
Does everybody hear that? When Jeff gets acne, it's also perfect. Jesus fucking Monte Cristo.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying perfect would be not having any. If I have one little hair that comes out on my right shoulder, and I have one exactly on my left shoulder, like little magical wings. They're like little vestigial Pegasus wings. And that's it. Also, I shit glitter.
You come from a long line of Aryan men, but there aren't any women. What's up with that? It's just men.
Well, what I mean by that is I've seen pictures of my ancestry, and all the men are identical.
And there's no women. That's what I'm saying.
No,
I'm putting it to you.
It's just me and a bunch of dudes with footballs on the corner of Columbus and Stockton. we've managed to breed homosexually. It's fantastic.
I wish it was so funny when you guys were talking about the guy who would be singing to another man right. about his cocksmanship. But yeah. they, but guys stay away from that, don't they, when they write a song?
Yeah,
they don't
I mean, well,
we're too much on another man.
We're socialized to if you, that would be that's just defeat, right? It's like if I go like this and you go like that, then I get your Twizzlers. So, but women aren't. I mean, and I'm not. So this is important to in these very sensitive times. I'm talking about socialization. I'm not talking about genetics. So it's like girls are socialized at a young age. They tend to be in a kind of superior way because it's like they're I think they're socialized to like they're not allowed to. You know, they don't do this like flexing, this weird like antler locking thing. So they have to like they have more complex social structures. And Jolene is a golden egg that comes out of that.
I was talking about the part before that I liked.
What did you like?
The part that before you went off like that. The part, yeah, the social thing. It was just like when you're saying cock a lot.
Oh.
That was the part I liked.
My problem with Jolene is I don't like it. I think it's not a good song. It goes on and on and on and on. I like Dolly Parton a lot. I saw her play at the Hollywood Bowl, and it was awesome because like half the people I could see sitting around me. No, sorry, at the Greek Amphitheater in Los Angeles. And I looked around, and I kind of got the feeling that a good like 35-45% of the people around me were in drag. Because well, she has a big like drag following.
Yeah, the real show at Dolly Parton shows is in the bathroom.
Is that right?
Yes, everyone. It's well known fact. Yeah.
Do you have any anecdotes you want to?
No, that's all I got. All right. I'm sorry for interrupting.
No, but the two she was like she sang Jolene like and she stopped about halfway through and she goes, I feel like I should change the lyrics to drag queen, and half of the fucking crowd stood up and they were like a bunch of 6'5" men in dresses. It was the best. And also her shows. Anybody seen her live? By applause. Four. Yeah, okay. I heard one guy go over here and go, yep. are you in drag right now? No.
Yep.
If she plays, please go see her because she's hilarious. Like, she's funny as hell. And also, I cried, like, multiple times. Like, she's an incredible storyteller. Like, during her songs, in between songs. Like, she's, like... Nobody puts on a show like her. She's really, really good. And she plays every fucking instrument in the building. She plays a saxophone at one point, grand piano, like a banjo, mandolin. Like, she's all over the shop, and she's great.
But Jolene's too long.
Jolene, no. It goes... Never. No. For me, it's repetitive. It's modal. It goes... It doesn't, like... I mean, maybe it does. Like, I haven't heard it in a while. Because no, when I hear it, like if I listen to satellite radio and I hear it, I listen to a couple verses of it because there's 35 verses in it. I don't know that it goes to a bridge. It just kind of like it just kind of stays in the same thing.
Yeah, and for I guess me, you're right. I don't think Jolene does have a bridge, does
yeah,
it?
Yeah, like the bridge would be what? I don't know what you would say. It just kind of it's one of those songs.
All the times you want to fuck a man, you always get two. But I'm just asking for you to not fuck this one.
No, I think, that's already the verses. I think we'd have to go to another place of her backstory. Like we'd have to go to another.
Oh, I was
place.
Just thinking melodically.
Oh,
yeah. Placeholder lyrics.
Melodically, that's a sweet bridge, Dan.
Thank you.
It always tripped me up because it's Jolene. You know, like I always thought of myself dressed as a lady, going into town, experimenting, etc.
Like you would use the word Jolene.
Yeah, like when I'm on the phone, I'd insist you call me Jolene.
Right. Yeah. Jolene. That's a good name for a, yeah, like a butch.
Yeah, for an alias. Like yeah. If I disappeared into the city tonight after this show in like a pantsuit, right. I'd be Jolene.
Right. All of the registered books and all the motels would be Jolene.
And then I put my lips like on it, like with lipstick.
Joel, where are you situated now when you're not in San Francisco?
I live in Pennsylvania now.
Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
So are you... where's your brother?
He's in L.A.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, fuck that guy.
Yeah. He's awesome.
Obviously,
I mean,
you thought that, too. You're like, fuck it.
No. I still love him.
But
come on. We're still, like, close, aren't we?
How many kids do you have now?
I got two.
And
you know what Jolene, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He likes two kids.
Jolene.
Jolene's a big fan of two kids.
I can only sire children dressed as Jolene.
And what are you focusing on creatively? Are you?
Well, I just did. We just did 6 years of Cinematic Titanic, which was like the original cast from Mystery Science Theater.
That you tour with.
A ton of shows, and we just stopped that. So it's kind of like. And then I'm doing my one man show. So that's kind of it.
What's your one man show? I don't know anything about
this. It's called Riffing Myself a New One. And it's just about. It's like about the DNA of Mystery Science Theater. So it's just this origin story.
Do you go out and do you do it in present tense and kind of go through the times and go like, so Ford Atkinson.
Wait, are you doing me, man?
Oh, wait a second.
He does an impression of you.
Like hey, that. Man, come on,
you got
man.
A lot of nerve coming at me with that.
I'm gonna fucking.
Voice.
I'm not gonna do your podcast anymore, man. If you keep on fucking doing an impression of me,
was it you? Is it bad to tell a line about the problem with modern pornography that you, when you do an impression of him about his problem with porn? Wasn't that you doing an impression of him?
What?
About his mythological Joseph Campbellian story.
Oh, wasn't
arc?
It? Well, yeah, it was you. That was you. Like I say this all the time too. It's like problem with porn, man. Now it's all about it's like we've lost the refusal of the call, man. It's like. It used to be, you know, a guy go into a library and it's like, you know, my book's overdue, but like, okay, I can't do that, man. But I guess I have to. That's the key, man.
I'd love to, like, get in on this, but I don't do me.
Oh, own it, Joel.
So your one man show.
So I do that. So did I ever get to finish my plug? I didn't. Right?
No. I did the bit where
tomorrow night, good seats still available. Come on, won't you? Thank you. I'm done.
Are you gonna leave or you're not gonna stay? And
no,
play?
I'll stay as long. I have a feeling I'm gonna get tired and then you'll see me go. But I'll stay as long as I can. As long as I use some of this.
Yeah, yeah, man. That'll pep you up.
Yeah, it's a bracer. Yeah.
Nothing says good morning like a big glass of Kettle One vodka. Mm.
So you're
I don't want to derail you though. I feel like I'm. Like,
No. Okay.
Our show has no rail.
Yeah. All right. I'm a bad interviewer and a bad friend and a bad person and a bad podcaster and a bad thing to pay $20 to see and a bad carbon-based life form and a bad
go on.
However, if I could wring anything out of you while I had you here, it would be sort of like I like to hear you talk about. Creative philosophy, because when I moved to LA, I was lost in this sea of like, it's really easy to, it's like a cult because you come from the Midwest into LA and everyone's saying stuff that if they're all saying it, then it's true. I remember just sitting and having drinks or dinner with you where you would say stuff to me that kind of like guided me. I don't know. Maybe it was just a cultural thing. Like you sounded like a guy from the Midwest, and you were out here, and you had been through the ropes. Like you would tell these stories about how when you were like back before Night Court, like you had the same agent as Harry Anderson, and like there was a point where you were like, yeah, I remember when you were like this prop comic that was on SNL killing it, like had these inventions that you would show, and there were of course people that were going like hey man, fucking like Joel Hodgson he's the hottest thing, we gotta get you on a sitcom and stuff, and you kind of like you diverted from that path because you smelled a rat, like you figured yeah. that probably wouldn't be a great idea. I remember talking to you about that stuff and kind of like having that as a guidepost and realizing that it was okay in this sea of people kissing your ass and telling you everything that you thought you wanted to hear, that you still had to maintain your own sanity. I have no idea what to ask you to wring some of that out of you, but...
Well, shit.
What do you think about black people?
That story in particular... What's that? What do you think?
I was just
going to say that story in particular was Brandon Tartikoff, who was the head of NBC. He wanted me to do a show called High School USA, which was this Michael J. Fox... like kind of like Animal House kind
of.
They did a movie of that, right?
This
is a long time ago. This is like I was 22. That was like 30 years ago. So it was like he said, "We want you to do this show." And I read the script, and I just didn't think it was funny, and I didn't think I could make it work, and it just seemed kind of stupid. And I said no to it, and they just doubled the money. They just said, "Oh yeah, okay." I think they were giving me $10,000 a show, with six guaranteed, and they doubled it. So it had been over $100,000 30 years ago, and they just said, "Okay, you don't want to do it? Here's twice the money." And it didn't make me feel better. It made me feel worse because I realized that my opinion didn't really mean anything in the face of all that money. If they, you know what I mean? They could change your opinion.
Right.
And that's when I quit and went back to Minneapolis and then like 6 or 8 months later started Mystery Science Theater. So it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
For me. But yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's what you meant.
That's why this sea of people that you made your mark not from Los Angeles and not with the help of these suits that were throwing piles of money at you, even though that was an option for you. It's always the right thing to do to follow your own compass and create. If you want to create, then you have to actually create. There are a lot of people that really that want to make a lot of money and can kind of create, and they're happy to.
Yeah.
But you have to be willing to be homeless. You have to be willing to kill yourself. So that there's no choice.
If it's entertaining, you mean you can kill yourself
I find young people like asking that question all the time. Like, well, what should I do in this case? And how do you know when you should do this and that? And you have to know that if you tried to wash dishes, you'd just be worse at that. You'd have to be like willing to sit under a bridge and just die of exposure. If nobody gave you money, and still, like, kind of as your frozen grin, like, sealed shut and your eyes glazed over, the last thought you'd have is, like, still, though, you know, I did what I wanted. And if you really wouldn't feel that way as you died, then don't be a hack, you know, try to figure out how to make money. And as that character in Citizen Kane says, to paraphrase him, like, making money is no trick if that's all you want to do. Just go do it. Go make money. It's a lot of interest. But I don't know.
Who is that guy that you guys like? Kind of like he kind of had this style of like I can't remember. You guys remember that roast you guys did? And there was a guy there who had this kind of training where he'd take you to the airport.
Sam Christensen, yeah.
What was his name? Did you do
Sam
that
Christensen,
too?
Yeah. Yeah, Jeff did that.
That seemed like fascinating. Like, what was that? Like, what was his deal?
His name is Sam Christensen, and he's this teacher. And it sounds like overly guru-y to talk about him because we talk about him in pretty high-flown tones. A lot of people have been to him, whether they're actors or not. You go in and you find out. It's changed a lot since I went, but he's got this kind of pretty streamlined way of you figuring out the essential qualities that you've always had and you always will have. There's things that, there's compliments you've been paid your whole life and insults that you've received your whole life, and you will get them for the rest of your life. If people like you, like if people like me, they might call me poised or confident. If they don't like me, they will call me arrogant or conceited or whatever. But they're talking about a certain neighborhood of an essential quality. And you go in there, and it's very, very interesting to find out the stuff that you wish people didn't see, but they all do. And the stuff that you wish people didn't see, but they all do. If I didn't get that right, opposite wise, the stuff that we wish we had that we don't, and the stuff that we have that we wish we didn't have. We used to go to the airport back a long time ago, before when you could go to you could be at the gate without a boarding pass. That's how long ago that was. And you would ask a stranger to look at somebody else and check off adjectives like for you, Joel, standing over there. And it's fucking fascinating. If you gave it to 5 people or 500 people, they would all pick the exact same words to describe you. And it's really chilling.
The same grouping. It's like I put on a blue sweater. I comb my hair. I put on a bow tie. Like, it go back multiple times. But people who never heard me say a word know that I'm sarcastic. people from Germany, people from fucking Italy, they're sitting in LAX. They circle the word sarcastic for me. It's been the result of a lot, the cause of a lot of problems in my life. People assume I'm being sarcastic.
People for me always checked off shit sprinkles, sparkles, glitter. I fucked it. God damn it. Glitter shit is what I meant.
He's a glitter shitter from way back.
Anyways,
have you been to Glitter Shitter?
Oh,
that's where the after parties are at.
Yeah, you know.
Here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to get some. I'd like to bring out Aaron McGathy, my betrothed.
Owning it. Thank you.
Here's Scoops. You want to?
Oh yeah, here, I saw this.
Oh. It's hard to tell what's going on, but... Scoops.
Scoobs.
Scoops with a P or Scoobs with a B?
With a B.
Well, I mean, sometimes Scoobs, but I Scoops. Doesn't matter. It's private.
Hello, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm owning it.
We're owning it, and we're apologizing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I ate 2 quarter pounders. Without telling you.
Oh, it's okay.
I'm sorry.
I may have had some hummus with pita yesterday.
Wait, it sounds like your diet's a little stricter than Dan's.
It's still cheating. I didn't realize how big this space was. My heart's a flutter. I thought it was just this first area, and now I'm in the Coliseum.
Also, there's a weird sort of like Legion of Doom people. That kind of
that lighting's unfortunate. It
very,
looks like
very eerily lit.
Look like you're all going to go like this.
You stand convicted of intergalactic smuggling.
It looks like you're all about to go kill Superman.
Did you guys do something right to get those seats or something terribly wrong? It's really good. Oh, well,
and the thing that's cool is they're lit for our pleasure.
Yeah.
There's no real practical reason they're lit up there. That's for us.
Yeah, they're top lit, so they all look like somebody from, like, somebody Zardoz
there,
or something.
Somebody up there yelled out something incredibly distinct that I couldn't understand.
What was that? Who was the guy that did the sci-fi?
Zardoz.
Now we're getting actual Zardoz quotes.
Zardoz quotes. All right, awesome.
Can we, Dustin, can you run up and mic everybody up there so they can just weigh in?
All right, so now that we have this triumvirate, while we're in San Francisco, because we're just passing through, I do want, before we move on, I want to help one person from San Francisco. Or you don't have to be from San Francisco. You could be from... You could be from Mississippi. You could be from... 3 hours later, you could be from Pacoima. And you could be from Kansas. Is there anybody who really feels even more so than they just want to be on stage? And wanting to be on stage is fine. But somebody who really feels like they're in a... Like they got a problem. They got some pain.
But remember, suffering's relative.
That we could help you with. I can only hear you in the back. I can't see you. So
is somebody walking toward the stage, or is it a cocktail person?
I heard somebody say my girlfriend broke up with me.
Get up here,
yeah.
Sir.
All right, come on.
I think that's easy pain to access.
Why don't yeah, yeah.
Can
you,
do
you? Would you be willing to come up here, person that said that? No. Oh, he's coming. Coming.
Is he coming from the senatorial overlords up top?
Like the pine trees lining the winding road.
Here he comes.
It's funny to have to do a mad dash down for the... My girlfriend broke up with me!
Yeah, I got it!
And then it's The Price is Right. I've got a name. Hello. What's your name, sir?
Why is somebody...
Jeremy. It's Jeremy, everybody.
Motherfucker wouldn't shake my hand.
Like my daddy. Like my hero.
I held my hand out, and he walked past me like a piece of shit.
Hey, Jeremy.
What's your name, Jeremy?
Sit here.
I have no idea how I walked past pieces of shit.
Get over here. Do you want him to sit here? Close him.
No. We'll sit Jeremy at the table there. Okay,
Jeremy,
it's fine.
Have a seat.
All right.
I do think Jeremy's safest next to me.
Okay, Jeremy, you have some of the finest minds in the world up here. You're feeling pain. Tell us about it. Give us the headlines.
We were together for 2.5 years, and she dumped me. And yeah, that's basically.
How did
it.
She do it? Over like in person, over the phone, via text, email?
It was very sudden.
Answer what did
my,
she say?
Answer my question, Jeremy. How did she do it?
It was in person, and you know, she gave a lot of reasons, but you know, the deep reason was we had communication problems.
For the listener, Jeremy is closing his eyes and gesturing with his
That's
with
what
his
I
fist.
Do too.
And
that's...
he's turned away from us. I don't know why.
What about your communication? What was the slide that she made up about communication?
Jerry, you want to grab the mic and just kind of eat it so that you're free to you can communicate however you want. I cover my eyes with my hand.
Like to see you
so
try.
We very much loved each other, but we did not communicate. And she was someone who did not talk, and I was someone who would not listen. And so there was a communication that just did not happen, even though we were both good people who loved each other very much.
Jeremy, you're a very handsome man. Do you know that you turn into Ray Charles when you're talking about your feelings?
I got a woman way uptown. She's good to me.
Did you know that you turn into Hank Williams II when someone says you're like Ray Charles?
You have awakened all kinds of things.
Are
in
you
me.
Ready for some football? Are you ready?
I'm actually not ready for football.
So, Jeremy, how are you feeling about it now? What's your where are you at?
You know, it's been a couple weeks, and you know, my friends have really been there for me, and I'm feeling okay. You know, my friends have been really good to me, and so I feel okay.
Why are people calling out lying?
Okay, there's a part of me that does not feel okay, but the rest of me feels great.
Wait, whoa, 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 whoa.
She's right there. Come on up. Come on up. It's her. She's in the audience.
No.
And we're going to bring them together right now.
A woman just yelled,
is that her? A woman just yelled out, he comes to my work all the time.
Okay.
Get up here. Get up here. Get on up.
Let's go.
All right. Annie Hall, everybody.
I'm ready for some football.
And if we don't have a mic, we're finding enough mics until we can all get on stage.
Share with me. What's your name?
Eva,
you have a rebuttal?
I work at Boogaloo's, and this guy comes in all the time. I've never seen him with a girlfriend once. I worked there for 2 years.
San Francisco!
Oh,
she ordered the same thing every time.
Does Boogaloo sell cruelty?
Yeah, guy doesn't have to be with a girl to have a girlfriend.
Also, wait, so I'm just saying, this guy, he's awesome. But I don't believe he was in a long-term 2.5 relationship.
Ah! Jesus Christ!
What in the world?
There's a sort of...
This isn't helping the healing process. You're calling...
All right, Jeremy.
Plot thickens.
There's a chamber of commerce of like...
Yeah, so
Jeremy, why do you think she would say that she doesn't believe that you were in a 2-year relationship? Was this maybe a little one-sided?
She would not believe what? I'm sorry. Say that again.
Eva here doesn't believe you that you had a long-term girlfriend.
Hi, Jeremy.
Well, so first off, let the record state, and you can back me up on this. I tip well. I'm a good tipper. I'm not a deadbeat. I'm not an asshole.
No, you are a great guy.
I'm a good tipper. Okay, so
I was just wondering because I know that I've been in a relationship for well over 2 years going
liar.
4 years.
I knew that was coming.
I am with the man today. Well, and I was just
okay.
Wait, okay, now Eva,
let's get these two together.
Stay for a moment. Jeremy, she's accusing, and so are like more than one other people out in the audience.
There was another female voice, and I don't.
There's at least one other.
It almost feels like there's a kind of consortium of local business owners that.
The Chamber of Commerce hates me.
That definitely a counterproductive.
Okay, but here's the thing. She said quite
succinctly that she does not believe that you had a long-term relationship, and you did not leap to your defense that quickly.
So
you said you were a good tipper, which seems like an odd rebuttal to that accusation.
I am a good tipper.
Like, money talks, baby cakes.
There's real pain out there, and a fake relationship is not one of them. This is the best.
So,
world's best Harmontown.
It ain't bad.
Fucking
it ain't,
wow.
Joel,
this show might go 3 hours.
Allow me. So what the thing is that I actually live like half a block from Boogaloo's. So once a week I have my my work from home day, and I usually go there.
As we all do.
So it's possible that like half the time I have been there was without my girlfriend. So if she was an ex-girlfriend, she is not my girlfriend. She is a free woman now.
I want to. Can we put the focus back on Eva?
Also, why would I lie about this? Let's take a second and think about this. Why would I lie about this?
Jeremy,
I wish I was lying about this.
That's an incredibly.
I wish that she
that's
did
not. Helping. That's
ever,
not helping.
Actually, no.
That is not helping.
That's not true.
It's about
that's
to take
true.
Your side. That's that not helping.
It's
not
Eva,
true. Eva, I.
I'm glad she existed.
Eva,
I'm glad that she was with me, and I'm glad that we had our.
Eva, Jeremy, you're hanging yourself. Eva, why when you were in the audience and you felt motivated to yell at that it wasn't real? What part of you is angry about him claiming that he had a relationship? Like, what is that? What does that extend from? What is that? Is that a San Francisco thing? Do you need a special certificate, or is there?
Yeah, give her the mic.
Well. I wasn't trying. I never assumed you never had a girlfriend because you came in. I go to restaurants probably every other day by myself, and I have to. Yeah, I'm like, I have a boyfriend. He just works at night, you know, like. But just you could tell by his voice. I'm
sorry.
I could just tell and. Most people that do have relationships and that have been hurt, you can just hear it in their voice that, yeah, no, I really love
somebody.
But
it's almost as if, this is the thing that I'm curious about, because the big question is, as he points out, which I think is a valid rhetorical question, why would he lie? But I'm even more intrigued, without accusing any of you of anything, why were you compelled? That's what Aaron's asking, because does he come in and like ply this?
No, not because I just made one snide, rude comment to my boyfriend, like, I've never seen him with a girlfriend, and he's like, you should say it, and I was like,
if you had to guess, what do you think his, if you had to guess okay. why he would make
okay.
up a...
So here's the thing, Maggie, the non, you know, Google-able version of her name, Maggie, you should email either Dan or Aaron and tell them that you exist. You're probably not going to be happy that I'm talking
Jeremy.
About you right now, but you listen to this and you should prove her wrong.
Oh, boy, Jeremy. This is... Jeremy.
Actually, I don't even think she.
It's okay, Jeremy. Eva, what if you
my boyfriend over there?
She's
that
my
told
girlfriend
me,
in Canada.
Wait, okay,
hang on.
Hold up, everybody.
Love at summer camp.
Order. Okay, Eva, you came up here simply because your boyfriend fucking goaded you to come up here.
Your boyfriend, who we've never seen.
He's like,
wait, goddammit.
They'll love it.
You have been coming on this stage for minutes and minutes, and I have never, ever seen this boyfriend.
So there
is a boyfriend out there.
That's
maybe two.
Nobody cares about that part of it. We care about the fact that you actually have no convictions about whether he had a girlfriend or not. You just made
She did. She had a leisurely one, and her boyfriend was fucking gruesome, man.
All right,
Eva, what do you think if you had to guess? What do you think his motivation would be for making up a girlfriend? Like if when you were.
I have that anyway.
To just
Maggie, come on now.
I'm sitting in the background and I've heard a familiar voice coming from the balcony. So I was I should have never called out anybody that feels like they may have.
But
been
you still,
in love.
You still feel that he did not have a girlfriend for 2.5 years.
I still don't.
You stand by that.
Yeah.
Well,
that would be so much easier. Hang on. Like, by show of applause, right now. By show of applause. First of all, let's do this a couple ways. First off, and I want this to be honest. No ironic bullshit here. People that already know Jeremy or have met him before and know him from around town, please applaud right now. Okay, 3 or 4 or 5 people.
Come on.
All right. Now, everybody.
You met her.
Everybody else. Everybody else in here. Who believes Jeremy that he's heartbroken over his breakup of 2.5 years?
Wow.
I feel like we've stumbled on now, a very complicated...
Who thinks that there might be some malarkey going on with that?
Wow.
And Jeremy, hold on. Okay, all right. Thank you.
I wish they were right.
Jeremy, hang on. I'm not editorializing on that. I just wanted to see what the audience felt based on human interaction so far.
No, it's clear enough. I mean, they're gonna follow the drama, and I'm not saying they're wrong to do it, but it's like that's.
But people smelled it before she did. Like, there was already a feeling of that.
I don't know. Well, I don't know about that. I know that a lot. It's like if somebody comes up and starts saying like, I love French fries all the time. My favorite kind of French fries. And then someone goes like, that's what you want us to think. Like, I'm gonna go like, what the fuck? And then if that person comes up with a hat and a sweater, and it's like, ladies and gentlemen, this man pretends to like French fries. I'm just saying that we're not leaving until we know the fucking truth about this.
Lock the doors, Cox.
Can we just point out?
I'm not saying you're a charlatan. I'm just saying that as an audience member, narratively, your mind then goes to. We've all seen Errol Morris documentaries. Like you're fucking like the first time bullshit is called. You're on the side of the like you fucking yo-yo. I don't know what the fuck to think. What the fuck is going on?
Let us just. If you were in love and you just got your heart broken, you would have more details than. She didn't listen. I couldn't listen.
Well,
Dan,
want, no.
Dan, can we like, just point
do,
out
do
for a
really
moment?
Want, the thing is, you don't from, actually want more details.
Right, well,
I could give you more details, but no one here wants to hear
San Francisco,
that.
San Francisco.
Detail lightning round.
Can we just point out for a moment? As somebody, and I'm sure I share the stage with other people who feel the same way, as somebody who spent a lot of her time heartbroken, it sounds like in San Francisco, it's a real privilege. I mean, is this my Valhalla? I'm queen here. Like, oh, so many breakups. But yeah, I guess detail.
There's a special punch card for free coffee if you.
All right, detail.
Okay, somebody that's better at asking questions
I think
than me.
It would be great if he started out by just saying 4 super cute things that she used to do that he loved.
Okay,
just really adorable. Okay,
so, and you have to keep your eyes open while you're.
Okay, so. So she was mildly narcoleptic, and so
that's awesome.
She would fall asleep if left unattended, and it was a little annoying because she always had to take naps, so it was kind of cute because we'd always take naps together. So that's one thing. Let's see. We would refer to ourselves as mammals and just talk about how great it was to be mammals.
Okay, now we're drifting.
No, two more.
Okay, God damn it.
Two more.
That's all right, okay. Let's see. So when she would say the word cashew, it was really cute. She'd be like, cashew! I don't know.
It's feeling real to me.
We had this Asian chicken salad that we would make that had cashews in it. And
last one. Lightning round, Jeremy.
Sometimes after we'd make out, we would just kind of look at each other and smile and like know that we were making each other happy and not have to say anything.
Oh, man, it sounds like you just watched a Justin Long movie.
I'm sorry, my moment isn't
either
cool enough for you.
Either she's real or he's a cuteness genius.
Okay, fine.
This is a real nuanced bullying,
I will tell you the best moment of our relationship, and it was when I had, like, we got to go to this random event
for my company this like random charitable event, and it was this like casino night thing that neither of us knew was going to happen, and we just like, it was a night of random frivolity, and it's just funny because like someone taught us how to play craps, and it wasn't even that like spectacular, but like after all the time we spent, all the vacations we went on, and like, you know, all the like beautiful sunsets and all that other shit, my best memory was this random ass night.
This is
all
right. So wow.
Let, wow. Okay. Wow.
I have a solution to get through this,
okay,
and end this
my
segment.
Oh,
yeah, let's
okay.
try.
Because maybe we should have broken up. Maybe you guys are right.
There's a way to you know, oh, yeah. Schrodinger's girlfriend can remain.
I don't know. I think box. You guys were right. I think we should have broken up. I think this is good. I think
the
glad
box
we broke
doesn't
up.
have to ever come open. Schrodinger's girlfriend can be one thing or another. I think the thing that we can all agree on, although some people, it seems like 70% of the audience doesn't think he deserves it. I think we can all we can all agree that Jeremy needs love.
I do. Yes. I'm not a bad guy.
This is
guy.
A town that definitely values.
So,
commitment.
So the, nice. There might be the tragic truth might be that he has a cashew speech impediment having girlfriend that's a narcoleptic, and that whose
Wildly.
Other two qualities are that she just likes to kiss and then stare at him.
It was cute.
In which case, bullet dodged. Like, you're gonna find a better girl than that. So, truthfully, like, you're already more interesting than that.
Let's thank Jeremy and Eva, everybody. Jeremy and Eva.
Tell Jeremy you love him. I love you, Jeremy.
Love you, Jeremy.
And thank you. What was her name?
Eva.
Eva. Thank you, Eva. I don't think there were any heroes or villains in that story. I think that was one of the most interesting.
Fucking hero.
Oh, thank you, buddy.
And while the music is playing,
God bless you, Jeremy.
Let's bring our dungeon master, Spencer Crittenden.
Spencer Crittenden.
Hey, can you guys hear me? Am I audible?
Yeah.
I can't hear myself.
You can't hear yourself?
When I was dating Mandy, she hated
yeah, right.
odd numbers. She dotted all her ellipses with four periods. She loved to feed birds, crows, you know, French fries in the park. And she had this really weird toe.
Man, when you're in love, obnoxious things are real cute.
That was now, a very interesting moment. Like, and the beauty to me is, I don't know that any of us, I mean, maybe there's a few people in the audience, Jeremy will be one of them, that knows the exact truth about this, but there was a division there, and people felt it instantly. And is it just that people instantly got a vibe off of him, or there was truly something that was said that sounded like fallacious, or... Both, yeah.
It was all of the above. It's
also, Jeremy, when he speaks, he has this kind of lightness and this kind of laugh in his voice, and that makes it hard to believe.
Yeah.
But some people mask pain that way.
And also, people coming up on stage, maybe like for the first time, or maybe not comfortable to come up here under that kind of scrutiny, although he did seek it out himself, to come up. People do behave strangely on microphone and under the light, so I think you have to dispense a little bit of leeway for that.
Yeah.
Definitely, one thing we've learned in Harmon Chat is that, you know, everyone's welcome up on stage, but you kind of like, because there's always a bunch of people in the audience and they know that you can kind of come up on stage. When you do come up on stage, you're kind of, you have two strikes against you because everyone in the audience is going, what the fuck, I paid $20, I'm not coming up on stage. Fuck you. You know, even when we ask, it's like that's a thing that you have against you. And I'm not saying it's right or it's wrong, but that's a thing you have against you. So I feel like I've already said it, but like he could have said like, I like chocolate chip cookies. And if James Earl Jones came up from the back and was like, no, he doesn't. Like, that's so interesting that like your brain goes like, whoa, I think he doesn't.
I mean, it's not like we're in some small town. This is a big city we're in. And somebody came.
It turns out it's a little smaller.
Yeah,
than...
No. This is like our town right now. This is fucking.
I run the bike shop down on 3rd and Walton, and this young man's.
Jacuzzi.
He never seemed in love.
He's been using his broken heart to steal watches and coin purses outside my malt shop for nigh unto two harvests.
And then a gal with a sweater and a fedora came up on stage and was just like kind of semi to fully convinced that it was just bullshit.
She was an intriguing character too. I wish the people that were listening could I don't know how they could see those people.
Can we all go to what was your place called? Boogaloo's, Hoobie Doobies, what was it?
Hoobie Doobies.
Boogaloo's? Is it a restaurant bar? What is it?
I imagine it's a place that sells balloons.
That's the thing. I want you to know, if you're listening in New Jersey, Milwaukee, Kansas, wherever you're listening, just know that Jeremy was not a bad-looking man, and also the girl that came up and inexplicably accused him of being a sociopath, also like very put together. Like, it was just weird. It was just
weird to me. I thought they were going to end up together. Didn't it seem like they would end up kissing?
Joel. They both look like characters from like a CW show or something. One of them didn't have an extra head or leg braces or was obese or anything like that. And I'm so sorry, I just offended all of our obese listeners. I'm not saying you're not worthy of being on a CW show. I'm just saying that.
I just wish that happened so earlier on in the show so we could do this for the next 17 hours.
One Tree Telegraph.
I didn't know. It's like when Maury Povich realized that you could just do paternity tests all the time.
Yeah.
Now I just like, wait, why isn't Harmontown just always like, okay, anybody got anything to say? Is he lying? It's just like, somebody's like, I think so. It's, fuck it.
Exactly,
it writes itself.
But people, they're
so much more interesting than us jawing about Dolly Parton for 2 hours.
But the thing is, that's amazing. Like, we do a show in Hollywood in the back room of a comic book store, and there's a team of people that come. We have our little Muppet show of regulars that come, and there's a guy named Adam Goldberg that certain people love and certain people don't love, and is this and that. Like, but like you can come all the way up to Cobb's, and there's a fucking brand new Adam Goldberg. it's amazing. All right, we don't have much time. We should probably get to the D&D while we still have a little bit of daylight.
So should I hand these out or what?
Yeah, let's hand out the character sheets if we could. For those of you who are first timers to Harmontown, Spencer is Dungeon Master Extraordinaire.
Thank you.
Who has the noble and ignominious task of trying to wrangle our drug and booze-addled brains into once a week trying to play the same campaign of D&D. Last week was Super Bowl. I was as drunk as I've been in Harmontown since last year when I was here at the Punchline.
Yeah, you were gone, man.
No, I was fucking. I was Steamboat Willie, baby. I was I was Boozy McTavish, and I would read my notes from last week, but they're in Sanskrit.
Okay, so Joel, you're this character named Chris DeBerg.
All right.
He aside from being a rogue, he also created the song "Lady in Red."
It's the Starburns Industries Tape of the Month Club. 12
Wow, these notes suck. Fortunately, we have Spencer to recap for us what happened last week. Are you ready to go on that, Spencer?
Ready. Yay, Spencer. When we last met, our heroes had met with Lenev. This is why you don't build stuff up.
Liar.
No, you didn't! And then...
The skeleton man from Tormod Tor. On the way to the city, Lenev began explaining the customs of the underworld while Mulrain stabbed Quark for having too many hit points. After hearing a noise, Quark approached a battered hut, slaying its undead occupants and violating their corpses. Lenev led the gang into the broken city, past the crumbling walls and into the forsaken chapel. There they met the three bone sages of Tormod Tor, who revealed to our heroes the location of the Tarragon of Virtue, high upon the floating Isle of Paradise. With the Tarragon, they could finally heal Chris DeBerg of his possession. But before the gang could leave, Lenev began spitting and cussing, demanding that the party be brought to justice for their crimes. The Bone Sages didn't seem so enthusiastic about this, but decided to enact the rites of Telem Varna. But what were the rites of Telem Varna? And how could our party escape? And what did it mean? Is it some sort of name or something? A historical figure? We'll find out tonight.
So you got all that, Joel?
Yeah. Spencer, one quick thing. What's the thing? The Tarragon of Virtue is on the floating Isle of Paradise, and they start invoking the rites of what?
Telem Varna.
Telem Varna?
Yeah, the Bone Sages, they're looking at you. They're looking at you, and they're saying we have to enact these rites. These rites of Telem Varna. Telem Varna! Chains as black as night fire from the shadowy rafters, striking you in the chest and sending a cold, clammy pressure into your bodies. You feel claws gripping at your very soul as dark energy envelopes you. You see several silent figures hooded in black filing into the church, standing around you in a circle. Everyone in the church is also chained by these black chains.
I go into a barbarian rage and wrestle to try to get free of my chains.
Okay. Flying into a barbarian rage, you attempt to extricate yourself from the shadowy chains. That one would have fell off the table. You rip with all your might. You rip out the chain, and with it, your soul.
Oh, shit. I put it back in.
Rookie mistake. With the black chains.
As you rip the chain out of your body, you feel yourself die, but as you slump forward into the chain that you ripped out of your body, your soul re-enters and you feel yourself live.
Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
All right, everybody, leave the chains until we figure out a better way.
What's it? Whoa, what happened?
Grandpa was there.
Did you fucking die?
My soul was gone, I think. I felt soulless.
What was different?
I 130 people got a joke before I did.
I don't stab Mulrain.
Okay, so we're tethered with black Hellraiser chains that are tethered to our souls.
Yes.
Do I get experience points for restating that?
No.
Hey, Krista Berg, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm wondering why we're in a church.
It's because you've been possessed, Krista Berg, and we're trying to get the Tarragon of Virtue, which will release you from your possession.
Okay.
We're here to help you because you've been a real weirdo lately.
Should I do a different voice here?
I'm possessed. I'm real obnoxious when I'm possessed. Well,
Joel,
I'm a kind of goofy fucker. Oh, I'm possessed with fun. Towards you and waddling around the room. Oh, it's fun.
Well, this doesn't seem so bad.
Voice is identical to my dad's tickle voice.
I yell.
Oh, here it comes.
I yell to Lenev, what the hell's going on?
Tell him Varna. That's what's going on.
Hey, Lenev?
Yeah.
When I get out of these chains, I'm going to fucking make your bones wish that their bones were broken. Fuck. Wait, give me a second. I'm threatening a skeleton.
Wait, okay.
I need to throw this to a room.
You're gonna wish.
You're gonna wish.
You're gonna. I'm gonna make shit.
Your marrow. Because wait, quiver.
They don't have muscles or meats.
Right.
I'm gonna lick. No.
I'm gonna lick. Hey, Lenev, when I get out of this, I'm gonna lick you on your bones.
Oh.
I use my bluff. And I look to Tup Tup. What's one of the Toric?
Torm out of Malin. Tor?
One of the skeletons. What's the skeleton? They're named the same name.
The Bone Sages?
Yeah.
Tor or Tor. Mod?
Tor.
Oh, that's right.
You guys
Thanks,
are
guys.
Listeners.
Second Tor. I use Bluff and I look at Second Tor and I say, ah, ha, hey, it's me from that class.
You're just trying to use, like, Jonathan Silverman romantic comedy pickup techniques on them. Ashley? Ashley from Roosevelt High?
Hey, wow, you really stayed thin. This is so uncomfortable because there's been a big mix-up. If you could just let this chain grasp off my soul, we can have a party.
I did. The rites of Telem Varna cannot be shed so easily. Telem Varna!
What are the rites of Telem Varna?
It's this whole thing.
Hey, Tor and Mod.
And Nether Tor.
They look over.
I'm not gonna pretend that I know you guys, but I will double the offer on the party. If you let these chains off, if you know what I mean. And I press my tongue on the inside of my cheek to simulate the head of a dick. And I explain to them that if my hands were free, I would take the left one and encircle the hand the width of a shaft near the opening of my mouth so that and move it in tandem with the tongue movement so that the net result was the appearance that I was rubbing a dick, just washing my mouth with a dick, just rubbing a hard dick.
Johnny was a bird dog, a bird dog. He really got it on with
but
dudes.
But I explain that to them verbally, and I'm saying, like, if you let me go, like, I'm yours.
They look at you, and they're like, again, cannot be shed so easily.
Somebody explain to me the rights of Telem Varna.
Well, Telem Varna shall watch over us all, and may sinners be shackled in darkness. The ceremony will begin soon. Will the guilty party please step forward?
I step forward.
Well, then.
Hey.
That's literally never worked before.
Hey, guys. I only deal with honesty. And, yeah, I'm guilty. I'm guilty of wanting to have a party. And I take my stomach and I go back like I've been hit in the stomach, but I do it in a way that it's like a dick. I'm like, you can put your dick in my belly.
Wait, what?
Put your dick all the way in my belly. I like gyrate like there's a dick in my belly. And then I look to my friends and I give
You had to one up my mouth thing. I understand. Right. There's only one thing bigger than a mouth, and that's your whole stomach. Yeah.
And second tour, my belly button's tight.
I'm Chris DeBerg, and I wasn't here tonight.
You guys know that, like, boners aren't really bones. Like, skeletons don't have dicks.
No, but...
Well, I'm sure they have phantom dicks. I'm
by
sure,
you
how
saying
else?
That, we've achieved a connection because you can tell that we're trying to give you a boner. We never said that.
Oh, no, that was me, the dungeon master.
Oh.
Well, it's just been bothering me.
What are you, backseat playing?
That's like, all I... Yeah, kind of.
So if you were playing, you wouldn't try to give them a boner?
I mean, I mean,
don't stop there. Tell us what you'd do.
I might try it once, and then, you know, if it didn't work, I wouldn't try it again.
That's not how you get boners, man. Like if people stopped at the first attempt, the species would be extinct. Like, the first person that ever tried to get a person to have a boner, like, used a leaf. And it didn't work.
You think the first
they used
boner
two
was
leaves,
attempted?
And they got a boner, hence 7 billion people.
Hey, Spencer, I'd be kind of offended. There's a man trying to train you in on how to have a boner.
That's what you I'm know? Saying. You don't use leaves. What are you talking
That's
about?
That's my point, too. You're just making my point.
You know, statistically, someone in this room has a boner.
Liar!
Jeremy's boner.
That's the only song about a guy singing about another guy's dick. Jeremy's boner.
Oh, he has a turgid penis inside the pocket of penis. To find it.
Tell him, Varna, or Bone Sages, what is she accused of?
Why? Penis flow. Heart is rock inside my prayers. Oh, in the 90s, all you had to do was eat the mic. It'll sound like you were singing about a boner.
I take my mighty great sword and try to sever my chains. Because this time I think it won't steal my soul.
Well, you
steal my soul.
You severed the chain, and yeah.
What?
You sever the chain, and it just kind of drops to the floor and evaporates. You see the end that's on your side, shall we say? It starts slowly disintegrating towards your body. And if you looked at it, it looks like it might take about 10 minutes to finish dissolving.
The guys
just
kind
of look at you. They're like, I mean, I guess you could do that. That's not a good idea.
I start running around in circles nervously.
All right, that happens.
Can I do something? Let me know when I can do something.
Anybody could do anything.
I want to reduce myself. I have reduce person.
Okay.
This is my go-to for getting out of.
That happens. You're smaller.
Yeah. So I get out of the chains.
No.
No, it's you're not like chained up. You have a chain going into your chest. It's like stabbing up in there. Into
guys,
your souls.
I got a 10-minute fuse that's going to steal my soul in a second. I'm a soul bomb right now.
I cough to cover up me saying that I was guilty, and I try to cut off my chains with my sword. I'm the guilty one. And then I try to cut off my.
You don't quite have as much success as Quark does. You clash into it. I don't know what you do with chains. You slice into it, but it just plinks off.
No, right. I'm possessed. Can I read my chart if I'm possessed?
Wait, read your chart?
Yeah, like can
yeah,
I?
Yeah.
Well, it says here I have the power, a weapon of sap.
Yeah, sap.
I think I'll use that.
What do you want to use it on?
I'll squirt it on the skeleton.
It's not like syrup. It's not like tree sap.
Well, you don't know that.
No.
It's a weapon, like a thing you whack somebody.
It just
like
means that you fall victim to a lot of old-timey pranks.
Oh, excuse me. I'm going to not use my weapon yet, then. If it's not sap, I don't want to play.
So
all right, fuck you, gaseous form.
Okay.
Gaseous yeah. What?
What do you say? Gaseous corn?
All right, fuck you. Gaseous corn. No, gaseous form. I'm casting gaseous form. You know, it turns me into like a fart.
You do that. You become a gaseous form.
The one who cast it blasted.
Gaseous.
The chain is still going into your gaseous form, and you see like a lighter glowing cloud inside of your cloud.
That's your soul, man. Chance to got your soul, Jack. I'm running around because I have a 10-minute fuse on my chest, and I start running looking for exits or anything, any sort of egress.
For some reason, you can't seem to break the barrier of standing hooded figures ringing you. Oh, yeah.
I do a cleave, a flaming sword attack through the hooded figures around me.
All right. If your sword cuts them at all, it doesn't seem to have any effect. It slices through it as easily as if they were a gaseous form.
It's embarrassing.
Guys, we're running along. We gotta bring us into the station.
Mod speaks up. Now tell him Varna is happening. I already said that. You must elect a defendant.
Me. All I'm right. The defendant. Do it.
It's not like a defendant in the other usage of the terms. It's
well,
more like a defense attorney, really.
I defend myself.
All right. If you shall be the defendant, then tell him Varna shall continue.
Varna shall continue. Wait, why are you telling me what to say?
I wasn't.
I am the defendant, and I defend myself. I am the guilty party.
Prepare your case, then.
All right.
I don't know.
Is my crime?
That's not
being
how this
here?
Works.
Okay, all right. I'm still
just running around stabbing gaseous people around the room.
That's still not doing anything.
All right. I put cardboard paper on Leviticus's head.
Leviticus?
And...
Lenev.
Boy, what a mistake. Laverne deserved more. I have a horse...
Jesus.
And I will do anything to protect this crew. We are on a journey searching something. Sorry?
Own it.
Apologize? Own it or apologize.
Fuck you. I'm on my way to murder the shadow in the crowd.
Wow.
I shall not apologize. My mother was a balloon.
I love popsicles. Let's have a party. I'll go underground.
I run
and
up
we'll
and pull the chains out of her chest. As hard as I can, I pull her chains out. And I put I put my bag of nuts in her mouth. I have an actual bag of nuts.
Can I cast mirror image?
Yeah, yeah.
And so there's another version of me on the other side of the room.
There's four more versions of you.
But one of them steps forward and says, "All right, that will do." I think they've learned their lesson.
And then we all wink, and then we all jump in the air and high five.
Set them free, and let's proceed.
You say those things. But, yeah.
I start swallowing my rope.
Okay.
I use one of my other mirror image guys to go, like, "Don't believe him." And then the guy he's talking about goes like, "Fuck you!" And he's like, "No, fuck you!" And the other guy goes like, "I hate skeletons!" And I go, "Fuck-a-dosh, boogabosh!" And the other one just goes away. And I go like, "You're welcome. Now that I've taken care of your enemy, the guy that hates skeletons."
And I look at Second Tour and I open my eyes real wide and I say, "Cashew." Cashew. And then I take a little nap.
All right, what's the result of all that? Come on.
The first tour, he looks on you with kindness, but the other two are very clearly not buying this.
Why?
Like, Doug Benson is backstage going, I had a 10 o'clock show. Yeah. I was supposed to.
No, Doug Benson's backstage going, "Yeah, I get it."
He's the only one.
Finishes Harmon. Big closing monologue by Sharpie to end the show.
No pressure.
"These shackles fasten my wrists, and these chains go into my soul. But there's something more powerful than wrists, more valuable than souls. And I refuse to tell you what it is. Because usually when someone talks about something more valuable, it's usually comes down to something like the soul.
But I have a moral, and it's one in the shit, two in the pits." No, don't end on that. Don't try to force an ending. I tried to force an ending.
You prompted him for a monologue.
Ray of Frost. That does 0 to 4 damage. "Avenger, attack!" Scrap! I have a hawk.
Yeah, what's he attacking?
Patriotism.
It hits.
All right.
Patriotism takes 7 damage.
How much more time do I have on the fuse in my chest?
Like 9, a lot, most of the time.
Okay. Come on, Harmon.
Can you speed it up? Can you make it like two minutes?
You son of a bitch.
Because I've lost my mind, I pick up my sword and I stab myself in the throat.
Yeah, I'm going to off myself too.
Cliffhanger! Thank you, everybody.
All right.
Thank you so much, San
Francisco. Thank you, San
Francisco. That was one doozy of a show. I want to thank Jeremy for coming up. Eva for making things the most complicated and wonderful of all time. Spencer Crittenden, Aaron McGathy, everybody. Our good friend Joel Hodgson.
Come to my show.
Riffing myself a new one at the Brava Theater tomorrow night, everybody.
Yeah, go to Joel's show. And thanks to those two kids that brought me the little tiny bottle of Kettle One. That was nice of them. I can't remember their names. Oh, is that you guys? Thank you.
Thank you all. You guys are wonderful. Let's go find a nice place to have a drink and convene with one another, shall we?
Yes. Yeah.